Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
All over the news, GameStop. What are the main lessons for investors from the episode? We find out with Jack Kuzi, founder and director of strategy at VFS Group. We'll also take a look at Chinese stocks in focus and what our Friday's IPO leaves Kuaishou. Market valuation of nearly $160 billion, biggest IPO in dollar terms since Uber. I'll take a closer look at Kuaishou in just a bit. First up, let's welcome Jack. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Michelle. It's good to be back on. It's been too long, though. I'm a little bit disappointed. I mean, it's been at least 3 or 4 months, I think, since I've been on. I mean, did I do something wrong, Michelle? Have I upset you or anyone at Money FM? You know?
Oh, my goodness, not at all, Jack. It's great to have you with us. Although, you know, gifts are always welcome. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Okay. I'll remember that.
All right, let's get going. Jack, was the worst mistake investors made with GameStop thinking that the party would continue? GameStop shares saw a massive decline in the space of just 1 week. They fell from $325 a share to $63.77 by the end of this past Friday's trading session. $325 to $63.77. That's a collapse of just over 80% in just 5 trading days. So what do you make of all this, Jack?
Well, to be honest with you, I think it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, it's a sad state of affairs for the market. It's sad that this has happened. And really, the only people, you know, we made this out to be, you know, Wall Street versus the retail or David versus Goliath. But in the end, the person that was hurt the most is going to be the retail investor. I mean, they're going to be left holding the bag here at the end. And that's the tragic part of it. And look, what we know about markets is they may behave irrationally for a time, and they may not come back to fair value over the short term. But what we do know is they eventually come to fair value. Now, there's this invisible hand, this demand and supply, where price is price. And that's the sad thing about what's going on here. Now, I am all for the retail hand. I love the fact that, you know, since the pandemic, we've seen a wave of millions of investors across the world suddenly discover the stock market and new players come into town. And I honestly believe that this is the best wealth creation tool around the world, better than property. It's easy to enter. You don't need much money. It's liquid. You know, it's global. You can do it from anywhere in the world. But this is not investing. This is gambling, and this is what burns.
This is trading, though. This is trading. Trading has always existed.
I get it, but you're going after. Look, I put this in the hand, right? I did this little video on it. Think about this as a poker game, right? And there's three hands at the table. You've got the retail hand, which is a very, very strong hand, and the hedge funds, which is a strong hand. But you've got GameStop itself, the company. I mean, that is a player in this game. True. Now, let's talk about this company for a second. They sell games from a retail store. It's a major source of their revenue. In fact, the major source of their revenue is buying used games and selling them at a marked-up price. You know, this company was in trouble because they tried to pivot towards cell phone sales. So, you know, we've got to understand that there's an asset here that's happening. And trading is part of the game. But when you bid up a stock like this so quickly, it's eventually going to collapse. And I think this is not the end. You know, the all-time low for GameStop is $2.57.
True.
I think it's going to trade close to that, you know, in the next couple of months. And it's a warning for retail investors is, sure, you can be unified to a time, but, you know, Reddit or a chat program can't unify a hand completely. Eventually, people are going to sell. People get nervous, and that's why you see these, you know, massive bumps in this stock. So I think it's a warning sign for everybody. And look, the one thing I will say about it, I think you're going to ask me, I think the brokerage, you know, something like...
Our brokerage is going to be punished for their restrictions.
Yeah, that's right. And I think someone like, I can't remember their name. Can you remind me of the major one that stopped the trading?
Robinhood.
Yeah. You know, they're suddenly realizing that there is actually a fin in fintech. You know, it's just not about being a tech company. You've actually got to put up collateral and capital to run markets like this. And that's been a big warning signal for them. And I think, you know, they had to go for capital in the market and try to, otherwise they could have went under. And that's been another learning lesson that we've learned from this. But is this over? Probably not. You know, we're probably going to see more of these short squeezes try to happen. But eventually, I think it's going to be the retail client that's going to be holding the bag at the end. And the sad thing about it is I think it's going to turn a lot of people off the market that were, you know, that just come in. So it's an amazing time we live in. It's an incredible time that we live in.
Yeah, it's a time where, you know, the ordinary person can take advantage of what we used to have to pay for, right? Research, information about companies, and the retail investor is hungry for that next big idea. And we're seeing this trend of, you know, social users posting their, and some of the research from investors that I've spoken to, some of the research that was on Wall Street Bets was really good. You know, fundamental analysis was right there.
Yeah, there's some smart players, but there's some smart people out there who've done some great research. But the other short squeeze was AMC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's talk about this company for a second. The major part of their revenue is cinemas.
Yeah.
I mean, is this a business we want to be holding? I mean, if eventually we have to talk about the asset that we're holding.
Yeah.
And the market will find fair value. Now, you know, if we were talking about growth companies and retail clients were moving into that, then I'm all for it. But let's just talk about the asset. And I think that's what we need to understand here. You know, we are buying and selling stocks, but when we're buying stocks, we're becoming shareholders of these companies. And the retail investor and every investor has to ask themselves, do I want to be an owner of this company? And, you know, I think that's the fundamental thing we've missed with these short squeezes. And I think when we talk about short squeezes as an investment strategy,
mm-hmm.
I think it's dangerous, you know, and, you know, volatile markets aren't good for anyone, and markets that can't find price are not good for anyone in the long term. You know, I'm hoping that regulators and everybody will work on making this a fairer market for everybody. I think there are some fundamental values that have come out of this that I think we need to work on as human beings going forward, but this type of stuff is not good in the long term. And unfortunately, it'll be the retail hand that gets caught with it at the end. And that's what we're seeing in GameStop at the moment.
So your message to our listeners is ignore the short squeeze, look for value in the long term?
Look, I believe the best way to make money out of the stock market is to think long term. You know, if you look at some of the smartest men in the world, like Buffett, we always talk about long term, you know. You know, someone is sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago. It's one of Warren Buffett's most favorite famous quotes.
Hmm.
Think about, you're buying a business. Ask yourself, do you want to own this business in the next 2, 5, and 10 years? And that should be the fundamental premise by entering a stock or an investment. That's my philosophy. Now, I believe there are short-term mechanisms in the market that you can make money from, but I think the safest way is to think long term. And I think, you know, GameStop is proving that at this point in time.
So don't be greedy. And basically it was greed, wasn't it, that allowed for that the retail investor to take advantage of hedge funds and the short squeeze?
Correct. And they got burnt too. You know, they learned a valuable lesson here.
Mm.
That, you know, you can get hurt by the market. And look, I was one of these people in April, May. I was asked the question, I think it was on your show or someone else, you know, is the retail hand leading the market?
Yeah.
And I dismissed it. And I was wrong about that. This is a very, very strong hand, and it can lead markets. The question you've got to ask yourself, is it a completely unified hand? You know, when you talk about hedge funds, they have an investment committee. They've got a thesis. They've got access to cheap capital. It's more of a unified hand. It may not be the strongest hand, but it's a unified hand. But you're right, they got burnt. Melvin Capital got burnt. You know, they had to ask for $2.4, $2.5 billion in liquidity. You know, they will learn a valuable lesson from this, and I think we all will. So, you know, there's going to be winners and losers on each side whenever you have something like this. My concern is this becoming a clear investment strategy? Let's look for the next short squeeze.
Yep.
And that's when we start to dive into trouble, clearly.
Yeah, it does look like it's becoming a trend. You know, it's the latest get-rich-scheme, almost, that retail investors are looking out for.
And we know what happens with get-quick-rich schemes.
Yeah, somebody ends up holding the chicken.
Correct. If they're too good to be true, they're usually too good to be true.
Yeah.
More thing. Sorry, Michelle. Sorry to bother you.
Go ahead.
If everybody, I think the markets may be looking a little bit too easy for everybody at this point in time. You know, if money was easy, everybody would have it. And if everybody had it, no one would want it because everybody would have it, you know. So this market's looking like it's just wave upon wave, and that is a very dangerous sign, even for a bull like me.
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, I did read a really good commentary that what's happening now is a result of inequality at work. You know, I mean, the fact that retail investors are willing to burn through cash to so-called punish hedge funds is a symptom of something deeper. But I want to talk a little bit about Keith Gill. So he's this YouTuber. And by the way, Jack is on YouTube as well. His channel is Jacuzzi, right?
That's a great channel. Thanks for the plug.
You're most welcome.
You know, my parents had no idea they were calling me a spa bar.
They were giving you a brand for life. This is wonderful. And a YouTube channel name too. So Keith Gill is a YouTuber Roaring Kitty, and he's been credited with being the guy who was talking about GameStop. If you go to his channel, you see he's was making videos 5 months before this meteoric rise in January. And then I think recently, a couple of days back, there's news that he's going to be investigated. Or there have been calls for him to be investigated for his role, because he was a trader before he quit, of course, after his massive gains. He was a trader. So.
Yes, I think he was a financial advisor, I think.
Yes, you're right.
I think he was a formal financial advisor,
So what do you make of Keith Gill? Greatest value investor of all time? GameStop winner or loser?
I mean, I don't know where to start. All I want to say is, you know, you jump on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube, and I love the movement of information. Just buyer beware, you know, in these instances. Let's think about the fundamentals that we're talking about. You know, pump and dumps are a very dangerous environment. You know, when you're looking to look towards someone to gain knowledge from them, you know, understand what they're talking about. You know, be wary of the thrifter, the one that comes in. I'm not necessarily saying Keith Gill is one of them, but, you know, social media is full of these, I'm going to 10x it and let me show you how to 100x it. And you know, there's a lot of lies and propaganda out there. Just beware, you know. And I go back to the philosophies of some of the smartest investors in the world, and think about, you know, the businesses and the long-term implications of what you're doing, because eventually the market will find fair value, and it's finding it with GameStop. And I think we get caught up with this, you know, this vision of wealth rather than the principles and basics that get us to wealth or get us to, you know, being comfortable and hopefully retiring or providing for our family. And social media can sometimes, you know, make that seem like a dream or make it seem easier than it is, but not necessarily. So I say to retail investors and newbies and people coming into the market, beware, you know, look towards multiple sources, look at the background of the source that's giving you that information, and go back and see what their track record is like. You know, we can all come up with a winner every now and then. It's about a track record of what you're doing, and try to look through the noise. That's what will allow you to be a better investor over the long term. And this is a long-term game.
Well, people are going to YouTube, though. You know, people are going to YouTube to learn, especially the beginners, right? I mean, have you checked out any of Roaring Kitty's videos?
To be honest with you, Michelle, no, I haven't.
Oh,
I can't comment. I did read a few articles on him. And this is not necessarily specifically at him at all. I think just in the nature of social media, we sometimes get lost in things like this. So, you know, let's look at multiple sources, I think. But I can't comment on him specifically.
No, that's the best approach, right? For critical thinking, you never rely on just one source. Multiple ones. All right, let's look at Kuei Shou, once known for peddling those quirky depictions of rural Chinese life, of growing crops and the like. Kuei Shou has effectively staked its place amongst a generation of mega startups like food delivery giant Meituan, ride-hailing leader Didi Chuxing, that grew up in the years after Alibaba Group Holding and Tencent. So Friday's IPO, Jack, leaves Kuei Shou with a market valuation of nearly $160 billion. That's the biggest IPO in dollar terms since Uber. What do you make of its prospects, given it is loss-making, right?
Yes, it is. It actually hasn't run a profit, I think, since 2017 when I had a look at the stock. The IPO was 5 times subscribed. You know what? Let's talk about something unfair. You know, when you talk about these new IPOs, I mean, this thing was up 180% on day one. You know, there would have been zero retail investors that had a chance to get that IPO. You know, and I think, you know, this Wall Street Bets and, that is another area where it's unfair. You know, most of these IPOs, you know, we saw it with Palantir in the US.
Yes.
You know, these stocks are doubling overnight, but it's only, you know, the banks and the hedge funds that are getting access to these IPOs.
Right.
Now, that's something I think that needs to be really looked at by regulators across the world. You know, there should be an allocation for retail investors in these IPOs. It shouldn't be left to the institutions just to get these because they seem like free hits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this IPO was oversubscribed 5-1, Michelle. And you're right, they started as a gift-making tool in 2011. And they now have over 776 monthly active users. And here's the kicker for you, who spend over 85 minutes on the platform a day.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yes, and their daily active users have been doubling every year since 2017. So, enormous growth. Look, here's the issue with them specifically and their part of their revenue. They're like a super platform. You know, they've got e-commerce, you can play games. It's kind of like a part Twitch, part QVC. But a lot of their revenue is derived from influencers who host live events on there. So, in fact, they had one influencer who actually made 20% of their revenue. So they've got a lot of concentration in that area. And if we follow China broadly, there's new initiatives by the government that change the way they digitally tax their megatech companies. And one of them is the way influencers register as a business or an individual and the way they pay tax. So there's been some tax loopholes that the Chinese government are stamping on there. So that's the one red flag I have over Kuaishou, particularly because when an influencer derives revenue from a Chinese platform, that is split between the platform and the driver of that revenue. So that's an issue I think that is, you know, that broader Chinese tech breakdown is a possible issue for them. But in terms of growth, they are an incredible company, really hammering into Douyin, which is TikTok's parent company. So I think there's definitely some growth here, but I wouldn't buy it at this level right now. I'd like to see a few quarters of reporting before I did so. But another amazing time for China, and another sign by the Chinese that they don't need U.S. markets to raise money. And I think that's, you know, one of the key things you need to understand here. It chose to list in Hong Kong. It didn't require really North American money, and it was oversubscribed, and we saw that on day one. So an interesting company, definitely.
Really, really great insights there. So for someone who's also going to adopt a similar wait-and-see attitude, Jack, who are the competitors for Kuaishou as you see it, biggest competitors?
Yeah, so it's TikTok or Douyin in China. So that's their short stream video app. You know, that's their major one. I mean, they do have a major holding. This is an interesting one. Tencent, which seems to have its tentacles in everything. They own roughly about 21% of Kuaishou coming out. But yet they've been introducing video streaming or short video streaming upon WeChat, you know, kind of in direct opposition to a company that they have a major holding. So that's another big competitor to them in that market, but it's definitely Douyin, and I think they've kind of kicked the goal ahead of Douyin by listing before them. They obviously been trying to list for quite a long time, but the whole TikTok saga really sent them backwards. And then, you know, you've got Youku, which is another one in that short stream, and iQIYI is another competitor there within that market. But that video streaming market is very hot within China.
Streaming, yeah, along with live commerce as well. What about Huya? Have you heard of Huya?
I have. I don't know too much about them, but I do know they have a majority owning by Tencent. But they are another one. They're actually listed on the US market, I believe. One of my colleagues asked me about them a couple of days ago, but I don't know too much about them.
All right. What is on your stocks to watch list when it comes to China stocks, Jay?
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about Baba at this point in time. I really feel the market's not picking up the regulation. So the Chinese came out with some regulation the day after earnings on Baba and on Ant Financial particularly, and talking about starting to regulate them as a bank. I'm actually thinking about really, you know, pulling down my holdings in Baba. I really like a company called Lufax, which does wealth management and credit lending within China. To small and medium enterprises. I think it's going to be a real big benefit of this stamp down on Ant Financial. So if you don't know, the Chinese have come out with some laws around what they consider a monopoly. And I think that's really going to hurt the big guns, Tencent and Ant. So I think something like Lufax will do very well. When I was on your show a couple of months ago, I talked about a company called Yika, which is kind of a quasi-Stripe within China. It's done really, really well, but I still really like the prospects of that company going forward. That's a region I really like within markets. I like a big name in terms of Ping An. I think they're going to do really well out of this renewed healthcare initiative within China. I really like Chinese healthcare in particular for 2021. The one thing about the Chinese is they kind of tell you what they're going to do before they're going to do it, right? So we recently had the 14-5th year plan by the Chinese and the 5th year plenum, and they really targeted some key areas, and one of them was healthcare. Yep. So that's a really big industry I really like out of China. And in terms of just the broad-based allocation, I really like Chinese domestic companies. So I still like the tech companies, but it's not my overweight this year. Away from the Barbers, the Meishuans, and the Tencent, but really domestic Chinese companies like domestic Chinese banks, industrials, financials, healthcares. And that's because of China's dual circulation policy. So they really want to come out and they want to favor domestic consumption. They really want to bring domestic consumption over to 50 to 60% of their GDP, which is to avoid that middle income trap. So that's a really area I like. And I like a really broad-based ETF that gives you exposure to that. iShares got one called the MSCI A50, and that will give you stocks that are listed on the Shenzhen and Shanghai Exchange, which foreigners can't buy directly or get exposure to. I really like that domestic growth within China for 2021. It's one of my favorite areas, along with healthcare.
This has been amazing. Thank you so much for the great insights this morning, Jack.
Thank you, Michelle. I'll see you next month, and hope everybody's safe out there.
Absolutely. Jack Kuzi, founder and director of strategy at VFS Group, with me on Money & Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.